560 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming ABC on the News, Civic I'm Media Perez. App.
A major hearing date is set over election interference charges against former President Trump and 18 alleged co-conspirators in Fulton County, Georgia. They will all be in court September 6th for formal charges and pleas. Among them, Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, in court today, fighting to have his case moved to federal court.
Meadows is going to argue he was only doing his job as Trump's chief of staff when he took steps that the DA now says represent a criminal conspiracy. And she will argue that Meadows violated the Hatch Act, preventing federal employees from engaging in political activity.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Separately, Trump's case over his alleged role in the January 6th riot, also before a judge in D.C. today for a trial date. That's been set for March 4th, notably the day before the primary contest known as Super Tuesday. This is ABC News. The hot spell in Austin, Texas broke over the weekend, but the relief brought some problems of its own.
Over the course of 1 hour on Sunday, the temperature in Austin plunged from 106 to 82, a 24-degree drop. But the winds that drove the cold front into central Texas also pushed trees and limbs into power lines, knocking out electricity to more than 8,000 homes and businesses. Most of the outages have been repaired just in time for the return of 100-degree days the rest of this week. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Mexican food chain Chipotle will pay $322,000 after an investigation found it violated Washington, D.C.'s child labor laws. D.C.'s attorney general today announced the settlement after an investigation found workers under 18 years old worked beyond the maximum allowed hours and days per week. A spokesperson for Elton John says the 76-year-old has been discharged from the hospital after falling at his home in France Sunday. Alex Perez, ABC News.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The investigative reporters at Wisconsin Watch are reporting that more than half of Milwaukee's rental housing has lead paint. That would be the highest percentage in the Midwest. City leaders passed an ordinance last year designed to clamp down on landlords who don't remove lead paint, but Wisconsin Watch reports things haven't changed much. The Milwaukee Health Department admits there are problems. It plans to roll out a new strategy for working with landlords. Lead exposure can cause brain damage in young children and heart and kidney problems for adults. The Environmental Protection Agency is hearing from groups concerned about the amount of lead in drinking water pipes in schools. Here's Mike Moan.
Environment America signed on to the letter, too, and the group's John Rumpler says despite more awareness about the dangers, students and teachers still are at risk.
What the data shows us from the last few years is that lead contamination of schools' drinking water is in fact widespread.
The Biden administration is carrying out funding initiatives approved by Congress to remove lead pipes. But Rumpler says updating the federal rule would compel more states, school boards, and utilities to respond. I'm Mike Moen.
A new report finds teacher turnover in Wisconsin spiked this year. Jimmy Cuska reports.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum looked at teacher turnover numbers from 2009 to 2023. Researchers found 11.5% of the state's teachers either left or moved each year. But in the last school year, that number rose to almost 16%. That's the highest turnover rate in the state in the 14 years that they studied. Turnover rates are higher in smaller communities and among teachers of color. The Policy Forum's Sarah Shaw says high turnover isn't necessarily a sign that anything is wrong. She says reasons could include better opportunities, the pandemic, or retirements. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is paying back $630 she billed taxpayers for a personal trip from Madison to New York City in 2020. Baldwin campaign staffers tell the Journal Sentinel the trip was marked as official travel by mistake. The trip also happened at a time when COVID-19 was surging in Wisconsin and New York. Baldwin posted a video to social media 3 weeks after the trip asking constituents to stay home. Republicans accused the Democratic senator of hypocrisy. A Wisconsin congressman was in Syria yesterday. It's the first known Syrian trip by American lawmakers in 6 years. More from Pete Schwaba.
Wisconsin's Scott Fitzgerald and two other House Republicans made an hour-long visit to the opposition-held area of northwest Syria. Two people familiar with the trip confirmed the visit but weren't authorized to publicly talk about it. The lawmakers reportedly met with leaders of the opposition. They also talked with people heading humanitarian efforts. The United Nations says 300,000 civilians died in the first 10 years of the conflict. The opposition is resisting forces allied with Syrian President Bashar Assad, including Russia. The fighting has been going on for almost 12 and a half years. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
A Wisconsin environmentalist says he's disturbed by what Republicans said about climate change at last week's debate in Milwaukee. Robert Craig runs Citizen Action of Wisconsin. He says climate change can be reversed if political leaders do the right thing.
But if we have a lot of folks who refuse to lead and in fact do the bidding of the big fossil fuel interests, then it's going to be a much more difficult challenge and the consequences could be dire.
Craig says only two of the eight Republican candidates for president in Milwaukee acknowledged man-made climate change is real. Craig was on WISC-TV's For the Record program yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. As demand for electrified campsites in Wisconsin grows, the cap on electrified campsites has been lifted. Previously, only 35% of campsites offered by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources were allowed to have access to electricity. That cap was removed in the state budget. $1.5 million will be spent to install additional electrified campsites. The Department of Natural Resources will also receive additional funds to add more technology to the campsites. Bikers hosted a tribute to fallen officer Emily Breidenbach in Cameron, Wisconsin this weekend. Officer Breidenbach was shot and killed at a traffic stop in April, and last week a stretch of highway was renamed in her and Officer Hunter Shields' honor. This weekend, over 150 bikers rode in Officer Breidenbach's honor and hosted a raffle, gun drawing, and sold T-shirts to raise money for Officer Breidenbach's family. According to her brother, the bike ride was originally planned to raise money for her canine partner. Three Republican state representatives are proposing legislation aimed at bolstering the emergency services workforce, particularly in rural communities. State Representative Karen Hurd is proposing that 17-year-olds be allowed to work as part of the emergency medical services, which should help achieve adequate staffing and improve ambulance response times in rural communities. The bill would have safeguards to protect the 17-year-olds, including requiring parental consent, having a sponsor in the field, following child labor laws, and keeping up with school attendance. A report from Apartment List found that Wisconsin is fifth in the nation for rising rent prices. The study found the 2023 median rent price in Wisconsin, $1,078 per month, is up 3.2% from 2022. The report cites growing demand as a factor in rent increases, with the population of Wisconsin growing by 1.53 million people from 1970 to 2022. The report also found the average household size in Wisconsin dropped from 3.2 people to 2.4 people during that time span, further increasing demand. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. We're kicking today off sunny, with high temperatures ranging from the upper 70s in the Northwoods to the low 80s for the rest of us. As a low pressure heads right into Wisconsin, it'll take some of our sunshine away and drops a cold front southward tonight, sparking up chances for showers and storms after 5 p.m. First, they will fire up in the Northwoods and then head southeast, taking aim at the Green Bay shorelines. These are not expected to turn severe, but they may drop small hail and have gusty winds up to 40 miles per hour. Total rain accumulation looks to be a trace to a quarter of an inch. Overnight, scattered showers linger into the southeastern parts of the state, with a few small storms possible along Lake Michigan into the early morning hours. With winds whipping out of the north tomorrow, it'll be a crisper and cooler day statewide. Expect cold overnight lows that could put down patchy frost far north. Have a marvelous Monday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Padres. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers extended their 8-game winning streak with a 10-6 win over the San Diego Padres in front of over 36,000 fans at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. Down 4-2, Milwaukee's Rowdy Tellez got things going in the sixth.
2-1 to Tellez, and a swing and a line drive right field. That is down off the fence. Can is in. Terang is in. Monasterio the third. Rowdy Tellez with a double. We're tied at four.
Brian Anderson on Bally Sports Wisconsin. The game got off to a rocky start when Adrian Hauser left with an injury, replaced by reliever Bryce Wilson.
Yeah, you lose your starter after two innings. You don't want to do too much damage to your bullpen. And for Bryce to go out and deliver four innings and then four scoreless innings that give you a chance to win the game, that's a great effort.
Manager Craig Counsell on why the Brewers' right-hander had to leave the game.
So it's just some right elbow like swelling, essentially. It's not in the, you know, the ligament, the UCL area, but he did have elbow stiffness, and that's, for a pitcher, you got to take you out of the game when that's going on. I think we're at the risk of certainly missing a start.
The Brewers open up a 3-game series tonight in Chicago against the Cubs. First pitch at Wrigley Field, 7:05. Racing at the Milwaukee Mile. Grant Enfinger the winner at the NASCAR 175-mile event held at the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. NFL over the weekend, the Dallas Cowboys trading for 49ers quarterback Trey Lance. San Francisco drafted him 3 years ago with the number 3 overall pick in the first round. Dallas got him for a 4th-round pick. The Packers beat the Seahawks Saturday 19-15. Matt LaFleur.
Whether it's preseason or not, you always want to come away with a win, to see how we ended it right there with the offense going down, scoring, and then the defense with the stand and Benny Sapp making a big play at the end of the game. And just to see the genuine enthusiasm from Benny's teammates was really cool to see.
The Packers finished with a preseason record of 2-1. Seattle also with a 2-1 record. Head coach Pete Carroll after the game at Lambeau Field.
Coming here is a special place, good crowd and all that kind of stuff. So we had to do silent count, all the things that you do on the road. And it was our young guys handling it.
Seahawks undrafted receiver Jake Bobo with an 18-yard touchdown reception.
To be able to play at, you know, Lambeau Field, it's an honor to step on that field for sure. You know, you watch Packers games growing up as kids on Sunday afternoon. So it was really cool to be here. Obviously, you know, being in this environment was different scheme-wise, personnel-wise. It's not a whole lot different other than, you know, the color of the jersey.
Packers running back, number 31, Emmanuel Wilson, led the NFL with most yards rushing in the preseason. Was it enough to make the team?
I feel pretty good. I'm not going to try to get too level-headed about that. If it's here, I'm blessed. If it's somewhere else, I'm blessed too.
That's Packers running back, Emmanuel Wilson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 81. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 55. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 75. Mainly clear Wednesday with a high of 75. 79 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 77.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zommers today. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this Monday afternoon?
Doing well, Will. Glad to be with you here on the airwaves. Excited as all get out for a Monday afternoon.
Doesn't sound that excited, but that's probably because it is a Monday afternoon.
How excited do you want me to get for a Monday, Aaron? Come on, as excited as I'm going to get for a Monday.
That's fair.
Come on.
I'd like to see a little bit more energy out of you personally, Luke. It's Monday. It's almost September, though. So, I guess unless you're looking forward to Badgers and Packers football, maybe that would be something to get a little bit excited to. We had a nice summer weekend, though. Did you get a chance to get outside, enjoy the weather a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And glad that it cooled down finally. It opened up the house as well with the 100-degree heat index now gone. So, yeah, it was a great weekend, and glad to be with you here on the airwaves of Civic Media.
Wonka's Harvest inaugural lettuce jam was pretty great. So I got to spend some time outside at that little music festival.
There you go. It was just a jam. It wasn't a festival. It was a festival.
It's just called lettuce jam.
Okay. All right.
A rose by any other name. Those who are watching the video version might see... Aaron, you're looking pretty normal, but I got a little bit of sun this weekend, a little unsafe amounts of sun here. It's kind of painful there, but I'll take it. It's nice to be able to get outside. You noted, Luke, that the weather came back to reality. It wasn't so unimaginably hot. Actually, I was at a softball tournament this weekend, and people were running back to their cars to grab sweatshirts and jackets because the little bit of the breeze in the low 70s all of a sudden when you've had a 100 plus degrees for a couple straight days, all of a sudden feels a little chilly. So jumping into the news, we want to ask you, the people of Wisconsin today, is hypocrisy expected from elected officials? Are you willing to accept hypocrisy from politicians that you personally support? The reason we want to jump into this conversation is based on our Friday News Dump segment. Reading over from a piece at WPR, Ron Johnson joins Republicans in calling for Justice Protasiewicz to step down from certain cases. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is joining a chorus of Wisconsin Republicans in urging a state Supreme Court justice to recuse herself from certain cases. Earlier this week, state Republican lawmakers filed motions in the state's highest court asking to exclude liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz from a pair of lawsuits over Wisconsin's electoral districts. This conversation obviously is something that we have been covering frequently, as Protasiewicz throughout her campaign noted that the Wisconsin legislative maps were, quote, rigged, unquote. And while, I believe she's accurate, the Republican Party of Wisconsin has gone out of their way to say this was essentially prejudging the results and therefore makes this individual unable to give a impartial judicial decision on whether or not the maps are or are not rigged. And to take this hypocrisy question a little bit further, to note the hypocrisy, reading over from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Ron Johnson says Wisconsin fake electors should not face charges for political activity. Of course, this is referring to our 10 false electors regarding the 2020 election cycle. Republican senator described the actions by the group of Wisconsin Republicans as, quote, political activity. He said that they, quote, the fact that we are criminalizing political activity, that's a danger to our democracy. It shouldn't happen, unquote. So we have out of one side of his mouth saying, you know, this type of behavior is political activity. It's just the way it goes. It's the name of the game. You're playing by the rules as written. Out of the other side of his mouth, he's stating that this elected Supreme Court justice, who, again, won by 11 points, a Wisconsin landslide, does not have the right or the ability to be saying what her thoughts are, what her morals are, what she believes should be the case. What say you, people of Wisconsin? Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, both of those stories coming out on Friday. So part of the Friday news dump, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson finding himself on both ends of that story. We want to know what you think. Is the hypocrisy baked into the cake, or is this just, you know, this is just what politicians do? They kind of take a stance on one thing when it benefits them this way and that way. When it benefits them that way. And so we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Not the only U.S. senator, though, Will, from over the weekend, finding themselves in a state of maybe talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah. Excellent point, Luke. And we're going to bring it to you, reading over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Again, a piece written up by Daniel Bice. Tammy Baldwin said to stay home in 2020. She had just taken a personal trip with tax dollars. At the height of the COVID-19 pandemic in November of 2020, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin posted a Twitter video just before Thanksgiving encouraging people to do what they could to stop the spread of the virus. Quote, don't host or go to gatherings with people outside your household and just stay home if you can, unquote. At the time, of course, Governor Tony Evers was also urging all state residents to stay home. However, less than 3 weeks before posting the Twitter video, Baldwin was not just staying home herself. Records show she billed taxpayers $630 to fly from Madison to New York City, where her partner lives, for an extended weekend, November 5th through the 9th of 2020, before heading back to D.C. At the time, both Wisconsin and New York City were then experiencing a surge in COVID cases. Wisconsin was also on New York's travel restriction list at the time.
Yeah, so interesting approach there to the recommendations. More a little bit do as I say, not as I do, but also
tap the sign, Luke, right?
Traveling. I mean, at that point, I guess if you're traveling to see significant others, yes, travel should have been limited during the COVID-19 pandemic. So I don't know, though, if they were considered quote unquote a household, is it questionable? Maybe at best, but there's definitely scales for hypocrisy, and we want to hear your thoughts on whether it's baked into the cake or something that you do away with, you dismiss, if it's of a politician you support. We want to hear it. 844-967-2789, because I think it is kind of a sliding scale as well, Will. It is variable depending on the extent of the hypocrisy.
100%. Nothing on earth is black and white, Luke, right? It's not on a line. It's not
newspapers.
A linear scale. Oh, jeez. Go home, Dad. Now that he's married all of a sudden, he thinks he can drop these like dad jokes on us. But it's not a linear scale, right,
That's
Luke?
That's not There's something that just changed as of last week. Come on, man. This has always been my sense of humor. Get out of here. it is a sliding scale. And so we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can share them with us here on Town Call. You can also download the Civic Media app and take Town Call and all of the excellent programming we have here at Civic Media with you on the go. Head over to the Apple App Store, Google Play Store. Just type in Civic Media. You can download the app to your smart devices and take us with you wherever you are. You can also engage with the show right from the app. Call or text 844-967-2789. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way. Up first on this Monday afternoon, we got Jake in Milwaukee calling in. Jake, do you believe in the hypocrisy is baked into the cake, or do you believe we should have higher standards for our lawmakers?
Higher standards, of course. Judge Janet, she said what she was going to do and what she believes. Every one of those Federalist whores, let me just say that, they don't have an independent bone in their body, baby. And if you do go against it, you're like, Hagedorn, and then you get yelled at for not like traded line. As far as Ron Johnson,
you're a
goes,
rhino, I mean, right, Jake?
Yeah. As far as Ron Johnson goes, you know, he's the king of the traitors there, so he should be in jail, in shackles.
Well, Jake, we don't know the full extent that the senator's office tried to participate themselves in that fraudulent elector scheme. So he's saying that it was only a matter of seconds, maybe a couple minutes, but we only found out of that because of the House Select Committee into January 6th, and he did not really want to talk to reporters after that news came out that a staffer of his, first it was just a lowly... coffee errand person. Then we found out that it was the interim chief of staff that came over to the senator's office that was trying to get the slate of electors delivered to then Vice President Mike Pence on the day of January 6th when the violence took place at the U.S. Capitol. And so we don't know the full extent that the senator's office, how he received them, how that fraudulent slate of electors got into the senator's staff's possession. We don't know, but he's saying no, this is just political it's political speech for those fraudulent electors to be able to sign paperwork saying that the former president, then President Donald Trump, won the state's 10 electoral votes, when in fact all the recounts, audits, every look into the 2020 election here in Wisconsin proved that was not the case.
It's an act of sedition, and it's a conspiracy for what they did to overthrow the election. So, you know, maybe not, we don't know the exact who did what, but that's exactly what happened. So, I mean, their intent is clear. Their intent was to steal the election. So if you ask me, every one of the Wisconsin people, just like in Michigan, need to get charged, and maybe it'll get more popular, because it seems like if you're a Republican, the more indictments you have, the more popular you are. So they should just go along with what Trump does. Okay, mm-hmm. Thanks.
Appreciate the phone call, Jake.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Luke, because the JS Online piece notes that while Ron Johnson was not mentioned by name in Donald Trump's indictment, the document does mention an incident in 2021 involving one of his aides texting a staffer to former Vice President Mike Pence, informing him that Johnson wanted to hand Pence the votes from fake electors in Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yes.
So more and more information is coming out on his involvement.
Yeah, but to the extent of how involved his office or he himself was involved in that scheme that he's downplaying as political speech, we do not know. And so there's absolutely the possibility that there are investigations going into that, but we, the American public, the Wisconsin public, do not know that information yet. But he is downplaying that act, as Jake noted, an act that looked to subvert the election results here in Wisconsin in 2020 and other states, because it wasn't just Wisconsin where these slates of fraudulent electors appeared. It was to overturn the election. That's political speech. But a candidate for a 10-year term for the state's highest court here in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the individual running for that office saying things during her campaign, that's not political speech. According to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and his comments made at the end of last week, Friday of last week, we want to hear your thoughts. Is the hypocrisy baked into the cake? Do you dismiss things that are slightly hypocritical when it's of a politician that you support? We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the conversation on this Monday afternoon. Will, excited to be with you on your most favorite Wednesday of the week. Town Call is going to continue.
Best Wednesday of the week.
We'll be right back.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. A major hearing date is set over election interference charges against former President Trump and 18 alleged co-conspirators in Fulton County, Georgia. They will all be in court September 6th for formal charges and pleas. Among them, Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, in court today, fighting to have his case moved to federal court.
Meadows is going to argue he was only doing his job as Trump's chief of staff when he took steps that the DA now says represent a criminal conspiracy. And she will argue that Meadows violated the Hatch Act, preventing federal employees from engaging in political activity.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Separately, Trump's case over his alleged role in the January 6th riot, also before a judge in D.C. today for a trial date. That's been set for March 4th, notably the day before the primary contest known as Super Tuesday. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
As demand for electrified campsites in Wisconsin grows, the cap on electrified campsites has been lifted. Previously, only 35% of campsites offered by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources were allowed to have access to electricity. That cap was removed in the state budget, and $1.5 million will be spent to install additional electrified campsites. The Department of Natural Resources will also receive additional funds to add more technology to the campsites. A report from Apartment List found that Wisconsin is fifth in the nation for rising rent prices. The study found the 2023 median rent price in Wisconsin, $1,078 per month, is up 3.2% from 2022. The report cites growing demand as a factor in rent increases, with the population of Wisconsin growing by 1.53 million people from 1970 to 2022. The report also found the average household size in Wisconsin dropped from 3.2 people to 2.4 people during that time span, further increasing demand. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
All this time I was wasting hoping you would come around. I've been giving out chances every time, and all you do is let me down.
And it's taking welcome me one, this welcome long, all, baby, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We're talking hypocrisy from elected officials. Is it to be expected? Is it baked into the cake? Or should they be held to a higher standard? Specifically referencing a couple of stories that broke on Friday as well as this morning regarding both of Wisconsin's senators, Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson. And I want to touch a little bit more on parts of the Tammy Baldwin story, Luke, because You know, as we noted, records have showed she billed taxpayers $630 to fly from Madison to New York City, where her partner lives. I have to compare it again to the other senator that we have mentioned, Ron Johnson. If you recall a story from May of 2022, where he also used taxpayer dollars to travel between his Florida family home and the U.S. Capitol. He has been using taxpayer dollars to cover these flights between his vacation home. 9 such trips occurred in the 2021 year, but after the fact, he was cleared of any wrongdoing based on the information that the Senate Rules Committee the Senate Rules Committee found that based on all available information, no evidence showed actions violated federal law. So this appears to be something that is being done by a number of politicians. The Baldwin campaign reimbursed the federal government for the cost of the trip, but they did not do so until they had been asked about the trip by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Campaign staffers said the trip had been erroneously marked as official travel, and Baldwin decided to reimburse the federal government out of an abundance of caution. So a lot of these particular stories that come to light, perhaps different results happen because of coverage that they receive, perhaps not. I want to know from you, the people of Wisconsin, should these elected officials be held to a higher standard? Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, and we got Wes in Middleton texting in saying, it's not a good look for Tammy, for sure, but for the love of God, spare me the right-wing pearl-clutching. It is so rich how we speak so high and mighty out of one side of their mouths and then act like petulant toddlers for the remainder of the time. Wes says that he is sick of how Dems have to be absolutely perfect, and we let the GOP act however they please. Tammy at least works for the people of our state. She gets stuff done. Ron lives in Florida, and his best suggestion for preventing tens of thousands of Wisconsinites' deaths was mouthwash. They are not the same. And if Wes, we're not disagreeing with you that these are different cases. We are just saying that it tends to be a little bit of hypocritical from both U.S. senators, but we acknowledge that there is a sliding scale of degrees here. We appreciate your text, Wes. You can be like Wes. Text the show, 844-967-2789. You can do so easily from the Civic Media app. You can do it the old-fashioned way, or you can give us a call, like our friend Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what are your thoughts on hypocrisy being baked into the cake for our elected officials?
Well, I'm kind of wondering on Tammy's trip there, and I appreciate her paying back, you know, for her trip from one home, you know, to her other home, and then to Washington, D.C., because she obviously has a partner and probably has two homes, as Ron Johnson has, you know, vacation homes down in Florida, and that was okay, and I appreciate that. But getting back to Ron Johnson again, that his now statement about it was just political activity. I beg to differ, and the Constitution under 14.2 says denied or any way abridged in the attempt to, you know, to deny the right to vote, select our electors is a constitutional violation. And as far as Judge Protase, which is, you know, judgment saying she thought she thinks the maps are rigged. Well, she may have put the kind of question she doubted the compliance with the current maps and conformity with Wisconsin's Constitution, which requires, as I've stated in the past, contiguous and compact districts, of which the districts in Wisconsin now are not contiguous or compact in many cases. So, I mean, it is just, and if I remember right, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that Dan Kelly also made statements about the maps being okay and they're perfect maps and all that. So that you can't have, you know, that, and they were just two sides of, you know, people were saying their opinions on current existing facts, not the decisions that they would make, but what they thought at the time they were looking at the maps back in February and April and during the campaign. So, I mean, that, and it's rich coming from Republicans saying, now we want to have a code of ethics when in the past, you know, they've let people that have contributed money to campaigns actually sit before the judges and no recusals required. So, I mean, just tell the Republicans to get stuffed, and she can go ahead and make the decision, and the Republicans howl and whine all they want because they're going to do that anyway. I mean, if she hadn't said anything about it in the first place, they'd be howling anyway because they would assume that that's the decision she would make.
And remember, Dan Kelly did spend, that's a good point, Mark, he was frequently involved in Republican party fundraising opportunities.
He if I recall correctly, he like launched
left and right.
He launched his campaign for the state Supreme Court at a Republican event. Like that is where he made his announcement. And so to her credit, now Justice Janet Protasiewicz at the time said if she were to be elected, that she would recuse herself from lawsuits brought forth by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin because of the contributions that they made to her campaign. It is not the Democratic Party of Wisconsin that is suing to question the state's legislative maps. It's not. So she has said if the entity, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, that donated to her campaign to help get her elected was to come before her, she would recuse herself. And there have been Supreme Court justices here in Wisconsin that have not done so. They've had donors, as Mark pointed out, come before them, and they have not recused themselves. And so she has been forthcoming on when she would recuse herself in that instance. This lawsuit, these two lawsuits questioning the legislative maps, not the case here in Wisconsin. We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. We got a text from Jeff in Shorewood as well, saying, guys, I thought I heard that Hagedorn worked on the group that made these rigged maps. Is that true? And so, yes and no, Jeff, because nobody's talking about any other potential conflicts of interest outside of the rigged comments from Justice Protasiewicz. But Brian Hagedorn was the chief counsel to then-Governor Scott Walker from 2010 until 2015, when he was then appointed to a seat by Walker in the U.S. District Court 2, I believe, or it was a Wisconsin Appeals Court. I forget exactly what level of appointment he received from Walker. But he got put into a appointed position from an outgoing retiring judge in Waukesha County. And that is where Brian Hagedorn then served until being elected to the state's highest court in 2019. But during his time as chief legal counsel from 2010 to 2015 for then-Governor Scott Walker, he would have been the entity defending these maps as they went through all of the lawsuits that they underwent. And so nobody's talking about the fact that Justice Hagedorn has a potential conflict of interest in ruling on these maps. He's expected to be an impartial jurist when it comes to the cases brought before. There's no complaints when Hagedorn was the one, outside of when he sided with the Evers maps for the congressional districts.
Rhino.
He was then criticized from the right. But the right was not criticizing his past involvement of defending the maps of least change policy, or the fact that he was the one defending these maps from 2010 until 2015. So in part, Jeff, yes, it's kind of a conflict of interest because he was the chief legal counsel for then-Governor Walker. We appreciate your text, Jeff. 844-967-2789. You can be like Jeff, and you can be like Wes in Middleton, and you can text us on Town Call here as well.
Well, Luke, I'll give you, you were nearly spot on. I just want to provide some clarity. So on July 30th of 2015, Walker appointed Hagedorn to Wisconsin's Court of Appeals to be chambered in the Waukesha-based District 2. He took office August 1st of 2015, replacing retiring Chief Judge Richard Brown, who had served on the Court of Appeals since it was created.
Gotcha. So it was a Wisconsin State Court of Appeals was where Hagedorn was appointed. So there we go. Yeah, because a U.S. district judge would have been appointed by then president. So yeah, that would have had to been a state court. Thank you for the correction, Will. Appreciate that.
Thank Wikipedia for that, actually, Luke.
There you go.
I throw money at Wikipedia frequently because they have saved my butt through my entire career.
There you go. You could contribute it here on Town Call. Is hypocrisy baked into the cake? Do you accept it in a varying degree when it is a politician that you support? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Up next on this Monday afternoon, we got Joe in Madison calling in. Joe, what are your thoughts on the day?
Great topic, and I think your information about Hagedorn is fascinating, and I hope you're able to reiterate that for people because that's just an amazing twist. I mean, this man, nobody's asking Hagedorn to, hightail it out of these decisions, but yet our senator, our Mr. Johnson, you know, Mr. Law and Order, who's traipsing across our nation's capital with fake electors in his pocket, is offering his opinions on the state court situation. It's disgusting. Let's be honest. It's disgusting. He's in no position. And to kind of equate Tammy, but in the paper, to equate what Tammy has done to what Johnson has done, boy, is that a stretch. Yeah, right. Tammy tried to upend an election. I don't think so. Yeah, she shouldn't have gone out in COVID, but does that equate to upending election? Absolutely not. I just wanted to add two other points. Dan Kelly, the Republican candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, had said back in 2011, quote, they're good maps, quote, it's constitutional. So Dan Kelly expressed his opinion on this. He was quite clear. He expressed his opinion. And then I would also throw into the mix, and I think this is a really important point, recall how this redistricting, gerrymandering garbage got started. It got started when the Republicans in the election or in the legislature back in 2012 set about to draw their own maps outside of any input from the public. They went to the offices of Michael Best and Associates across from the Capitol. They didn't even do their work within the state building. They did it in Michael Best and Associates' office. Do recall that that's the place where Reince Priebus spent time and, in fact, may be back there now. And the other law firm that helped them write these ridiculous rigged maps is, oh, get ready, Jim Troupas' law office. Where have we heard that name before? Interesting how the rats keep reemerging, isn't it? Just fascinating. So I would say if you're going to start looking at this redistricting, look at the fact that this started back in Michael Best in law offices when back in 2012, and we've been struggling to try to get back to having a decent, fair state ever since. Iowa can manage it. We can manage it. And this has to be looked at. Sorry for going on the rant, but this just really makes me hot under the collar. We do not have democracy currently in the state, and we need to attend to it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate that's a catchphrase I can get behind, Joe. If Iowa can do it, why can't we do it? I think something that's also super noteworthy, Luke, that Joe mentioned is a lot of times what I hear from a lot of young people in particular, but apathetic voters is, you know, all politicians are the same. They're all equal. I think that mindset plays into a lot of elected officials' strategies in the sense that they recognize, with this example being a prime one, Ron Johnson in this situation trying to overthrow an election, Tammy Baldwin getting a $600 flight on taxpayer dollars. In a vacuum, are those, you know, equally bad? No. But if you didn't read into the details of the sliding scale that we've been discussing all show, you would simply see politician doing something bad, politician doing something bad, and you would equate them all as bad. So why should I care who I pick and choose? Because they're all doing it. You know, they're all participating in bad things.
Well, that's why you got to be paying attention. You got to be listening to Town Call every Monday through Friday from 12:15 to 1 because the details matter. And yes, I think, Will, that a lot of times there is just an acceptance of it from the electorate, but it is interesting to see how you can pay attention to the details and see the differences once you get a chance to take a closer look. We got a comment on Facebook from Tony Zimmerman saying, I think we personally give more leeway to people we agree with, but that's why it's important for journalists and Town Call to look at everyone. We appreciate the comment, Tony. You can be like Tony. You can comment on the live stream on Facebook and Twitter. If you've got a good one, we'll share it with the audience on the show. We're going to continue the conversation and your phone calls. We're asking the question, is hypocrisy baked into the cake? Or is this something that we should have higher standards for from our elected officials? We want to hear those thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft.
We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 81. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 55. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 75. Mainly clear Wednesday with a high of 75. 79 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 78.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Your favorite color red. I guess that I'm the hypocrite. You're not responsible. I'm responsible.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We're talking hypocrisy from elected officials. Are you more likely to accept it from an official you support? Where do we draw the line? Should we hold politicians to a higher standard? And Luke, I want to touch on something else from Joe's call before the break. We've been discussing the false equivalence fallacy, right? That we see a lot with the American electorate that, oh, all politicians are bad. They all do these kind of things. But a lot of the quote-unquote bad things they do are on a sliding scale. We see it a lot in particular when referencing former President Donald Trump. Oh, you know, he's, or perhaps with the Hunter Biden situation as well. What's going on with their kids? What are they doing? Blah, blah, blah. They're all bad, so we shouldn't allow it. Are you going to compare the $2 billion that Jared Kushner got to the couple million of dollars that Hunter Biden may have received? Both are unacceptable, but where do you draw the line? Because, you know, when you're talking $2 billion to, say, $2 million, this is exponentially larger numbers. And actually, Ron Johnson made a point of making the false equivalence fallacy when discussing the criminalizing of political activity, in his words, noting that in 1960, a situation where Democrats in Hawaii submitted alternate electors for the 1960 presidential election despite a certification that Republican Richard Nixon had won the state, Johnson said the use of alternative electors were, quote, nothing new because of this situation. However, that 1960 race in Hawaii was A, still undergoing a recount at the time of certification, and B, eventually found that Democrat John F. Kennedy won the state over Nixon by a margin of 100 votes, thus making them not false electors. They were the accurately chosen electors due to the results of the recount in Wisconsin. That was not the case, as you noted before the show. Numerous court cases confirmed that President Joe Biden had won the state of Wisconsin. So no, these are not comparing equal situations. This is apples to oranges. And it's frankly gross that this kind of argument is being made legitimately in public by an elected official.
Well, yeah, saying, and in the piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Johnson's comments were to say, yes, both Democrats and Republicans do it. And he's trying to garner up that false equivalency surrounding alternate, which is alternate. Like, they weren't alternate. The Trump campaign filed like 60 plus lawsuits from Election Day on, or around the Election Day on, surrounding the 2020 election in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in, like, he was filing all of the lawsuits trying to stop the count here and pick up the count there and find the 11,280 votes that I needed in Georgia. That he was trying to do all of those coordinated efforts, and just saying that this is political speech washes away the fact that there was 60 plus lawsuits that all reaffirmed the election results that we have seen for 2020. And so to just say, oh, well, it was just an alternate slate to try to preserve the legal strategy. The legal strategy lost. The legal strategy lost over and over and over again.
Not just once. Not just twice.
And the individuals pushing the fraudulent elector scheme did so all the way up and beyond the violence that took place on January 6th. To this day, some individuals are still saying that those fraudulent electors were not fraudulent electors. Our senior U.S. senator from Wisconsin is downplaying it as political speech. And so it is dismissive of the actual facts that took place surrounding the 2020 election. And to equate it to political speech at the same time, on the same day that you're saying a state Supreme Court justice needs to recuse herself from a case overseeing redistricting in Wisconsin, it screams a little hypocritical. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Up next on this Monday afternoon, we got Jack in Merrimack calling in. Jack, what are your thoughts on the day?
Well, first of all, those fraudulent electors from Wisconsin signed on to that unlawful document after the state Supreme Court had said, no, the election's legitimate. Yeah, it was only by one vote on the Supreme Court, because we also had three attempted insurrectionists on our state Supreme Court have voted to not to certify Biden, who won by thousands, tens of thousands of votes. Going to the Janet Protasiewicz situation, first of all, how can you vote for somebody if you don't know what their views are on critical and important issues? And that's what Protasiewicz was stating. She didn't say, yeah, I'm going to vote this way or that when the court case comes. She simply said her opinion on a particular important issue. And, of course, talk about hypocrisy. Even before she was elected, Dan Knodel was campaigning on, well, if Protasiewicz gets elected, then I'm going to vote to impeach her. And finally, regarding the Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson visit to their family, I think it's a good thing, and it should be a perk of office, that these people are allowed, our highest level officials are allowed to visit their families it's a minuscule amount of money when you compare it with the, for example, $43 billion that the Pentagon didn't even ask for, that was thrown at the Pentagon budget and the last defense budget. So this is small change, and I think it's a good thing. I think you should allow occasional visits, and I don't mind it being on my dime if that's the case. What I do mind being on my dime, and this is the final hypocrisy, is our state legislators who basically are using our money as their slush fund to litigate, to call for fraudulent audits of the 2020 election, which is still, I believe, in the process of being paid for by paying for lawyers. What is it now? $3 million of state funds? I mean,
the last I saw, Jack, the total was around $2.5 million, but it could be approaching three because there are still ongoing open records requests into that review of the 2020 election that was given a blank check by the Assembly Republicans. We appreciate your call, Jack. It's been a terrific episode of Town Call. If you missed any portion, go check out the podcast. We'll have it posted shortly. But it's important to keep talking about these things, because
it's important to be informed, Luke, because both sides of the aisle needs these stories to be covered.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we appreciate all of our excellent callers contributing on this edition of Town Call. If you've got a suggestion for what you think we should be covering, send us an email, towncall@civicmedia.us. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Alex Perez.